Hi, I'm Michael Senoff, founder and CEO of HardToFindSeminars.com. For the last 5 years, I've interviewed the world's best business and marketing minds. Along the way, I've created a successful publishing business all from home from my two-car garage. When my first child was born, he was very sick, and it was then that I knew I had to have a business that I could operate from home. Now my challenge is to build the world's largest free resource for online downloadable MP3 audio business interviews. I knew I needed a site that contained strategies, solutions, and inside angles to help you live better, to save and make more money, to stay healthier, and to get more out of life. I've learned a lot in the last 5 years, and today I'm going to show you the skills you need to survive. Hi, it's Michael Senoff with Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. The title of this interview is called How to Use Social Networking to Reach Your Target Market and Keep Them Interested. Maury Smith is a social networking expert who admits there's a gold rush kind of hype surrounding social media sites and what they can do for marketing. While it's true social networking can bring tremendous results if done correctly, it's also true that it can be a huge waste of time for anyone who doesn't know what they're doing. So in this audio, you'll hear how to properly use social networking as a strategic marketing tool you need. According to Maury, when marketers move in, users move out. You should look at sites like Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn the same way you look at networking events. You would never step through the door and start handing out business cards to every stranger there. You would build rapport and establish a connection first. Social networking is no different. It's about positioning and branding without being pushy or salesman-y. And in this audio, you'll hear exactly how to do that. You'll also hear how to use attraction marketing and curiosity marketing in your social networking so that you can pique interest without blatantly selling anything. You'll learn exactly what gets indexed by Google on social networking sites and how to use that to your advantage. You'll learn how to use keywords in your message so that you're never wasting space, and while you'll want to listen for keywords in other people's messages too. You'll learn how to be strategic about reaching out and asking for friends and why you should be picky about the friends you keep. You'll learn about great reference sites that will help you make the most of your social networking endeavors. You'll learn how to broadcast to your followers without looking like you're blasting spam. You'll learn ways to get your friends and fans to jump off your social networking page and onto your business website. From baby steps for the beginner to tips for the seasoned pro, Maury's got social networking down to a science. Her approach, which she calls radical strategic visibility, combines social networking with more traditional marketing tactics for both online and offline exposure. And in this audio, you'll hear all about it. Now, let's get going. When someone says, Maury Smith, what do you do? What are you?
I'm a social media consultant, speaker, and trainer, and dubbed by FastCompany.com as the Pied Piper of the online world.
Is there some hype to this? Is it about a lot of people collecting friends and collecting followers and following? Is there some hype to this social media thing?
Well, I think the hype part, you're in the right area, let me just say, Michael, because the hype part is coming from the fact that people are in this frenetic, this frenzy, this gold rush kind of energy, thinking that they're off to mine for gold and that the gold is just getting gazillions of friends or fans or followers. And while numbers may be important and on some level, what is more important is that you're talking to your target market. You don't have to be talking to everybody because it can't be all things to all people. So it's a matter of utilizing these platforms, the social media platforms like Facebook and like Twitter and YouTube and LinkedIn to reach your target market that maybe you wouldn't have been able to reach them in other mediums because they're hanging out, they're enjoying being on these social networks. The one thing to keep in mind, though, is there's a saying that I like to quote, and that is that with regard to social networks, when the marketers move in, the members move out. In other words, we get fatigued as a member. I'm saying we now as a member because we're all both. Anyone who's in business is a member and a marketer. But if you're too emphasizing on the salesy, pushy, you know, come and buy my stuff, click on my links, that is really a turnoff. And it's just better to be engaging and conversational and really demonstrating that you care about people. Another thing, too, is to be monitoring conversations, really, really rigorously monitoring conversations about you, your business, your brand.
my listeners, a lot of them are business people. And like you said, when the marketers come in, the users move out. And from a selfish point of view, I have a business and I have information products that I want to market and sell. You have consulting services that you want to be able to use the social media platforms to generate new relationships, forge new relationships, and after that, maybe possibly generate some new clients for yourself. So where is the big mistake that the marketers may be making in these social networking sites? Are they coming on too strong? And what advice would you have for them where they can use these sites to generate new clients without, I guess, offending the rules of the game, but also leverage their time by doing it?
Well, one of the mistakes is just being too much of a broadcaster. You know, just being in a mode of pushing out messages without listening. In a way, when you think of a regular networking function, you wouldn't walk into an in-person live networking function and just start cramming your marketing message, your brochures, and your business cards, and going up to people and putting a sticker on their back, buy my stuff or whatever, without introducing yourself, shaking hands, saying hello, and what kind of work do you do, and, you know, what are some of your things you're working on right now, whatever the case may be. You're going to build rapport. You're going to engage in small talk, even. And there's ways to do that with social networking and to not really coming across as an agenda and just really showing that you care and just being able to listen. Now, there are certain features, like especially on Twitter, because Twitter is an open system, whereas Facebook is a closed system. In other words, on Facebook, you have to be a member and logged in order to interact or access any of the information. But on Twitter, you've got the Twitter search engine, search.twitter.com, and that you can actually have keyword alerts. You can set up these alerts that work exactly the same as Google alerts, and it will let you know when certain keywords that you want to have monitored are being talked about.
Is that keyword alert set up through Twitter or another service?
There's a couple of different services that do it, and there's one that I like. It's called TweetLater, and TweetLater.com is actually a whole suite of Twitter tools. You can pre-schedule tweets, you can monitor keywords, you can manage multiple accounts. There's a lot of different things you can do with TweetLater. The other one is TweetBeep, like B-E-E-P, beep beep of a car. And that was fun. You can get like a daily digest or, you know, as it happens, a real-time alert. The other thing too, though, is just to really monitor rigorously that search.twitter.com. They index back only a few weeks. I see often that not all of my tweets show up.
Let's say I sell a information product, how to be a marketing consultant. Show me how I can use Twitter. I would go into Twitter search engine and I could type in maybe a keyword, marketing consulting. I could look at the conversations going on in Twitter around that subject, and then I could politely join in without promoting, but join in on a conversation. Just if I was at a party and there were two people talking about consulting and I could join in on the conversation. Is that the power of Twitter?
You've got the gist of it, but in actual fact, initially, one of the important things that you're going to do is to start to build out your followers, and you do that by following people, because that's how it works with Twitter. It's like subscribing to blogs, because essentially that's what Twitter is it's a mini-blog or micro-blog. You've got the 140 characters with every little post, or the tweet, as they're called, and that goes out to whoever is subscribed, quote-unquote, to your micro-blog in the form of followers.
All right, I've got maybe 1,500 followers, and I'm following about the same.
Okay, good. Excellent.
Okay, so I've built out my followers a little bit and vice versa. And then what?
Well, in terms of finding conversations to join, the very fascinating thing about Twitter as opposed to something like Google, where you would go and do a keyword search and you might search for marketing consulting, you've got to flip it around and think about conversation. I don't know about you, but I don't get up in the morning and say to my friends, gee, you know, I'm really looking for some marketing consulting. So you've got to think about what would your marketplace be talking about. They might well be talking about some problems that they have. So in terms of marketing consulting, is a very, very broad area, a broad service. So it's like, what kind of marketing? What problems do you help your customers solve? What problems might they be having right now? Is it online marketing consulting? Is it traditional offline bricks and mortar? Is it press?
Let's say they're having a problem installing a web form on their website.
Great.
So let's say that's the specifics. How would you use Twitter for that? If we can identify problems, how can we get in there and market in a way that's not frowned upon?
Well, the best thing to do is for me to explain how I use it, and then we'll see how that fits with the scenario. But really, it's not a matter of like going out and looking for clients. It's more like what's called attraction marketing and a new term called curiosity marketing. There's a lot of moving parts to this. If somebody comes in and all they want to do is try to figure out how to use Twitter and figure out how to market using Twitter and figure out how to monetize Twitter, Twitter is only one piece of the marketing pie. There's all kinds of other things. There's teleseminars and public speaking and advertising. And
what piece of the pie is it?
Social media.
Give me an example of how you use Twitter.
That's what I'm about to do. So the curiosity marketing, curiosity or attraction-based marketing, my messaging, my tweets that I put out, they're also part of my Facebook status updates, my Facebook posts and links that I put out and my blog posts are all around Facebook, Twitter, social media, marketing, online marketing, you know, profiting from the internet, copywriting, email marketing. It's all in the same genre. And I'm very, very, very focused, which is one of my number one secrets or strategies that I encourage my clients to do.
Your focus and your niche.
Yeah, precisely, because it's a very, very noisy. It's a noisy world in there in the social media, or just a noisy world, period. And so at the end of the day, you want your voice to be the one that stands out, the one that people remember, not just hear it in the passing and it's gone in one ear and one at the other. So one of the things in terms of, like you're saying, is someone having a problem installing a web form, they could very well be. Someone might be talking about that right this second if we were to punch that into the Twitter search. What I would do is I would just follow them. I would follow them and I would look at their tweets from before and just even see if there's somebody that I might want to do business with. I would look at their bio, look at their previous tweets, and then just by following them, if they're fairly new to Twitter especially, they're actually going to be getting a notification. I have most all my notifications turned off because I'm up to almost 40,000 followers. It just gets too much after a while. But typically most people watch and monitor who just follows them because they're pretty excited when they have a big name person follow them. So then they'll click through and they'll see your bio. They go, wait a minute, that's what this person does. They're a webmaster, they're an internet specialist, whatever the case is. And then you might take action in that regard and go ahead and start conversation with them. It's interesting, you could, even as I'm saying this to you, Michael, very rarely as I go after like one client. My strategy from the get-go, about 2 years now, is to roll out this concept that I created called radical strategic visibility. What that means, the radical part, is that you're seen everywhere. You're commenting on the big A-list blogger sites. Obviously, you know the main social networks, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, YouTube, friend feed, you name all the big ones. And then, not only that, I'm seeing a lot offline, too. I speak at events, I go to events, I have my picture taken with celebrities, things like that. And this is not like this is for everybody. This is my strategy, your own version of what does radical strategic visibility mean to you. And where are the eyeballs that you want to have on you? Where are the ears that you want to have listening to you to the point where people start to go, wait a minute, she's all over the place. And all she talks about is Facebook, Twitter, social media. She does speaking engagements. She must be the expert. And on Twitter, I'm known to give a lot of free advice. Because I think on 140 characters, it's impossible to over-deliver. So people will come to me often again with this establishment of myself as being so visible and so focused and so on topic that people will just come and seek my advice. Now, that can be time-consuming. That's one of the downfalls of social media. It can be a little time-consuming.
Yeah, you had to turn your notifications off. You got 40,000 followers?
Yeah.
You're listening to an exclusive interview found on Michael Sinoff's Hard-to-Find Seminars. And if you'd like more information on Maury's special programs and seminars and free reports, she's got a wealth of information. All you have to do is go to www.facebookseminar.com. That's www.facebookseminar.com. There's no S on there, so it's www.facebookseminar.com. You're maxed out on Facebook. What's the max on Facebook, friends?
5,000.
You get 5,000 friends. Have you turned those notifications off?
Yeah, everyone. Yeah, I only get my email.
Okay, so before you turned them off, what did it look like for Maury Smith as far as juggling all these people? Didn't these names become almost blurred? You couldn't really keep track with who all these people were and the conversations. That must have been just endless. Do you have an assistant to do all that for you?
I have 7 assistants.
Tell me about how you set that up.
My seven assistants, they each have different roles and responsibilities. I have one that all she does, her full-time job, is managing email, because I get an enormous amount of email coming in. And this is good. This is a good problem to have, because there's money. There is abundant money in boxes.
When an assistant replies to an email, it's coming from Mari Smith's assistant.
Correct, absolutely. I'm glad this came up, because my philosophy with assistants and delegation and ghostwriters is I never delegate my voice. I do not ever want anybody speaking as me. They can speak on my behalf. They all know that. And I never delegate my tweets, because I think that on Twitter, the relationship is so intimate. In the world that we live in now, especially with social media, is so transparent and authentic. It would be completely inauthentic, in my opinion, to have anybody thinking that they're engaging in conversation with me and it's not really me.
Good, okay. All right, so you got seven assistants. Each one has roles. One handles just your email. And you're right. People are contacting you, and there is money in those contacts because you have products to sell, coaching services, resources, free advice, and such, right?
Yeah, exactly. So monitoring email is one thing. You know, managing my calendar, I get booked up a lot in interviews and speaking engagements. But initially, let me wind the clock back 2 years, because some of your listeners might be just kind of getting started with Facebook or Twitter and, you know, social media. And everything that I do is very strategic. And I was on Facebook, you know, within the first couple of days, I saw a lot of frivolity, not quite to the degree that MySpace is. I never did get into MySpace. It wasn't my cup of tea. But with Facebook, I thought, oh my gosh, something really, really amazing happening here, because I love the layout, design, the white space, the ease of navigation. And right about that time, the summer of 07, a lot of big name people were coming on, actors and authors, speakers, you know, celebrities, people that I've wanted to meet for a long time, wealthy, you know, internet marketers, things. And I was very strategic about reaching out and adding them as friends. And, you know, I wasn't confirming everybody, and I had no qualms whatsoever about removing friends if they were pushing out rubbish into my stream or was inviting me to play any kind of violent Facebook games, mob wars, or vampire bites or rubbish. So I just ignore all that, and I use it very strategically about choosing who am I friending, who am I accepting as a friend, and what are my regular activities, what are my daily activities, even if the only thing that I did all day was to update my Facebook status, is to say, use things like name dropping and things like that, with always an integrity, and just to let people know, these are some of the things that I'm up to right now. And if we go back to that piece I mentioned about curiosity marketing, let me give you a difference here, and this is whether it's Facebook or Twitter, maybe LinkedIn. Say I'm doing a tele-seminar and I'm getting some people signed up for it, so in my tweet or my Facebook status update, I wouldn't be going a traditional marketing message of saying, you know, I'm doing a tele-seminar on how to make money on the internet, click here to sign up now, here's a link, you know, as a typical call to action. I would be saying something like, and this is my style, because you've got to do your own style, and I'm very expressive, and I use a lot of fun, playful language and expressions, and I would go, woot, or woohoo, or yippee, or I'm so excited, the 500th person just signed up for this call, and there's a link. That's called curiosity marketing. It's like there's a big party going on for the people that are extroverts and they like a lot of people around them. And they're going to go, wait a minute, what's this call? What's Mari up to now? It's like she's got 500 people in a call, or 5,000, or whatever the number is, obviously, you know, in integrity. But it piques their interest. And you catch a lot of people in what's called ambient awareness, because following 40,000 people on Twitter, I can't possibly read all those tweets. But in any given day, in any given moment, any given nanosecond, something will come into my ambient awareness, like the periphery awareness, and I will catch it, and then I will follow through and click and find something that'd be of value to me or my followers. So that's what I'm striving to do as well, is just to pique someone's interest enough that they would click through. And they do. They do. I get more sign-ups through social media than I do using my email, but you have to use both, because I get significantly higher click-throughs and sign-up rates for any promotions I'm doing when I use a combination of email marketing. I have a very loyal list for many, many years. Also, my Facebook friends and following me on Twitter, so it's all blended together.
Do you have a favorite out of all the social media sites, Twitter, LinkedIn, YouTube, Plaxo, Flickr, Dig, StumbleUpon, any one personal favorite?
Well, I like this question, and I do get asked that. Lots of people say, if you had to choose one, what would it be? But I really don't have one, because Facebook and Twitter are the top two that I use. I use Twitter every day. I use it my mobile device a lot. I have an iPhone, and I love the Tweety app. It's called Tweety, like Sweetie, but that's an excellent app. Often I enjoy using it better than some of the desktop apps. But Facebook takes a little more time to cultivate. So you can have kind of more of a leisurely relationship or conversation. You can take time to get to know people. It's not as fast-moving. In other words, like I can go to my Facebook and I can see the same information on my feed for several hours. if I go to my page on Twitter, like my own home page where the stream of my 40,000 people is going by, that's like changes every split second. It's very fast moving.
So have you tweeted today?
Oh, gosh, of course.
Okay, so from your iPhone. So when was your first tweet today?
Well, I pre-schedule. I don't do mornings very well. I'm a night owl, so I pre-schedule my morning tweets.
So does that mean you did tweet this morning or no?
Pre-schedule.
What does that mean?
You go to tweet later and you tell it what time you want your tweets to go out.
Okay, so your tweets were pre-written and you wanted them to go out in the morning.
Yeah.
When you're pre-scheduling your tweets through the service Tweet Later, how many tweets do you have in a 12-hour day from morning to night? How do you pre-schedule it and what's your strategy on that?
Well, you know, there's different things. I'm very conversational. I'm known to be very conversational. I'm probably about 60-40, 60% conversational tweets. That means that they're at replies. You put the person's at name and then you talk to them first, maybe 40% content. I tend to be probably no more than 2 an hour. I mean, in any given day, there probably would be about 10 to 15 regular tweets, unless, when I say regular tweets, I mean not an at reply, straight tweets. But unless I'm going to an event, I'm either attending an event or I'm at an event online, a virtual event. I'm participating in a huge four-week summit right now. I'm actually one of the speakers. So like Tuesday night, we had Gary Vaynerchuk keynoting for us, and I was tweeting like crazy. And I tell my followers, you know, my tweet volume is about to go up, but they love it because I'm tweeting nuggets from a seminar that maybe they couldn't attend. But with the pre-scheduling, it's not really down to a science and an art. I would like it to be. I mean, one of those people that every morning at 7 a.m., 7:30, 8 a.m., 8:15, whatever, that there's certain content that goes out, but it just doesn't work that way for me. I probably find some content the previous night and then just pop it in there.
So, like, what's an example of a tweet that went out today that you pre-scheduled last night? What would it say?
Really putting me on the spot.
Okay, you can't remember.
Frankly, I think that most days, today's probably one day that I didn't pre-schedule, and I'm looking at my tweets here, but I just know off the top of my head that the tweets that I would send out will be valuable information related to my niche. One account that I follow very, very closely is Pete Cashmore and his site Mashable. So Mashable.com, and I just know that he puts out some terrific content, and it's always cutting edge. I mean, he really has a finger in the pulse. He has a massive team of bloggers, and they're always writing on that Mashable.com. Pro blogger, Darren Rouse in Australia is another good one, problogger.com.
You're giving value. You're tweeting about, hey, check this out, this is really cool, and, you know, things that you find valuable. You're giving to your followers.
Yes, correct. So I didn't make that clear. I am not the kind of person that will say, I'm eating a sandwich, I'm petting my dog, I'm taking out the trash. That's just complete nonsense, and it's a waste of the space, in my opinion.
And I think that when people look at these social media sites, that is a perception they get. It's just a bunch of people just wasting space. I mean, it's ridiculous, and it gets a bad name.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I just noticed in the last couple of weeks on the trending topics of search.twitter.com, you can see at any given moment what are the top 10 topics being talked about right now. A really good way to take the pulse on the world, if you will. They call them memes, you know, the hashtags that will go around. The hashtags is you put a pound sign in front of an acronym or a word or phrase, and it groups all the tweets from that particular subject or event together. But often those memes are just nonsense. They're just trivial. So sometimes the trending topics is not as useful as it could be, but to be perfectly frank, it's every marketer's dream to get to the number one or at least get into the top 10 trending topics, because most people on Twitter know that the trending topics are watched rigorously. People see what's going by.
Have you been able to get into the top 10?
Oh, sure, yeah. Different events I've gone to, absolutely.
So out of all of Twitter, you may be in the top 10. So what does that mean for you, traffic?
Mostly more followers.
Can you get a flood of them once you hit that top 10, like in a short amount of time?
Well, yeah, and especially like if you make it in the top 10 trending topics with a particular tweet that maybe is a really good content that pulls them back to your blog, then you're going to get more blog subscribers. You're going to get more sign-ups for your e-zine or for your free whatever e-course download, free teleseminar, whatever it is you're promoting. But the thing is, to get into that, because Twitter's now up to about 19 million users, and it was probably easier a year ago to get into the trending topics, but now you have to really have quite a concentration of people tweeting about the exact same subject at the same time.
What is the best way, other than you just hope that your followers are going to read your tweet, but if they're following another 1,000 people, are they really going to read it? Can you broadcast to your followers in a way other than just tweeting on Twitter? Specifically,
tweets are broadcasts. That people follow you, and every tweet you put out is either a broadcast or a conversation.
But do they have to be online? Let's say they're following 100 other people, and these 100 people are all tweeting. How can they follow everyone? You know what I'm saying?
So you're going to use an application like TweetDeck. TweetDeck.com. TweetDeck is a desktop client based on Adobe Air, or there's one called Seismic Desktop. Either one of those, you can control your tweeting experience much more in terms of setting up what are called saved searches so that you can have groups. You could monitor specific groups, like 10 or 12 of your favorite people that you just always, whatever they tweet, you know you're going to read it.
For more exclusive interviews on business, marketing, advertising, and copywriting, go to Michael Senoff's hardtofindseminars.com, and you can see all their tweets in order.
Correct.
But following on Twitter.com on the URL is much more difficult.
Well, once you get over about 50 followers, or 50 people that you personally are following, then it does get nigh on impossible to stay on top of all of that tweet stream.
Okay. When I mean broadcast, let's say your Facebook. I'm sure you have a Facebook group, right?
Groups are kind of waning in their attraction. I recommend fan pages.
Fan pages, okay. With a fan page, can someone sign up on your fan page on Facebook? And let's say you have 5,000 people who are signed up on your fan page. When you make a post or something, can an email go out to those 5,000 fan pages? Subscribers. That's what I mean by broadcast. I guess if you compare it, if you have 5,000 people on your email list and you send out a broadcast email through AWeber, that an email gets to them. Are you able to do something like that on some of the social media sites?
On Facebook, you get several different choices. On the personal profile, people will ask this question, oh, how do I blast all my friends, you know, without spamming them? You know, it's a valid question, especially from a marketer standpoint. But basically, you cannot message all your friends from your personal profile. You can do them in groups of 20. If you want to actually email them, 20 is the max you can send. And I personally do not like that. I call them multiple recipient emails, so not to get confused with group emails. You know, unless all 20 of those people know each other or the purpose of your email is to introduce them, then it really is spam because there's no way to opt out. The default is reply all. You end up getting caught in this long thread that you're not interested in, you can't get off of it. So there's no way to blast all your friends. But a couple of things you can do is set up a special interest group. And you can email right into the personal, right into the inbox, the Facebook inbox, emails, send messages to all group members, up to 5,000. They actually truncate it at 5,000. So that means as soon as you got 5,001 members in your group, you can't message them anymore. In my opinion, the fan page really comes into its own because, first of all, the fan page gets indexed by Google. It's the only feature in the whole of Facebook that gets Google indexing, meaning that people outside of Facebook, whether they have an account or not, whether they're logged in or not, they could find your fan page through Google searching. Now, you can actually have unlimited fans. There's no limit to how many fans you can have on your fan page. And there's a tool or a feature called updates. So you can send an update to your fans. It doesn't go right in their inbox. It goes a slightly separate place, a slightly different place, but it's still a lot of people read those updates.
All right, let's talk about Google SEO juice with some of the big social media sites. You just explained Facebook, the fan page is the only one that's getting SEO outside of their system. What about Twitter? Is any of that getting outside SEO?
Absolutely. Every single tweet is an individual web page with a unique URL that gets indexed by Google. And I think that the people that are tweeting about, I just eat a sandwich, I'm petting my dog, I'm taking the trash out, those people do not realize that they are completely and utterly wasting good tweets. You want to tweet with your keywords.
I have that LinkedIn.
LinkedIn, you know, it's interesting. LinkedIn is not a strong area of expertise for me, but I have taken many different courses. I was just on a conference call yesterday in this big summit I'm involved with. And it turns out LinkedIn events, if you're actually doing any kind of a conference, a seminar, or a tele summit, you can post it up there on LinkedIn events, and you get some great Google juice with that.
How about Flickr? Are you using Flickr?
You know, I use Flickr a little bit, but Facebook's actually the number one photo sharing app on the whole planet.
Facebook is. More than Flickr.
40 million photos a month are uploaded. Now, I think indexing, but the number one reason that people like Facebook for photos is the taggability.
How about Dig? Any experience with Dig?
A little bit. I use StumbleUpon.
Yeah, have you ever hit the first page of StumbleUpon?
No, it's not something I strive for, but if I did, I wouldn't even know. I don't monitor it.
All right, you talked about when marketers move in, users move out. What trends have you seen over the last 2 years specifically related to this? And bring me down to the future. What do you see happening in social media down the road?
Well, down the road, I'm seeing niche social networks will become more and more popular. I have a client and a friend, Ellie Drake, Ellie and Charlie, and they have just launched a new site. It's called BraveheartWomen.com. It's a specific social network for women, but women with a heart, women with a purpose, women who are maybe a little more spiritual, more into, you know, consciousness and transformation. And it's beautiful. It's really beautifully done. It's spent a lot of resources building the platform. So I think we're going to see more and more and more sites like that where it's around a specific user base or niche. Another example is Circle of Moms. Circle of Moms launched last fall, and it was one of the most successful. Launched at 800,000 members joined within the first of, I think it was like 3 months or something.
All right, so this is a website launch?
Oh, yeah.
Circle of Moms?
Mm-hmm.
These are moms who join the social network?
Well, yeah, because you see, on Facebook and Twitter, social networks in general, the numbers are a little more like 60-40. You can have 60% women on these. Women tend to be more relational, more conversational.
What's Circle of Mom? Circle of Mom was a website, or?
CircleofMoms.com is like Facebook for women.
Oh, I got you. It's a niche social networking site for moms. Gotcha. And they had 800,000 people sign up?
A lot more than that now, but yeah.
They have a good promotion, or is it real viral?
Viral was a big part of it, but this is very, very nicely done. The UI, the user interface, is the most critical component. Because, see, when I got involved with Facebook 2 years ago, I knew that they were going to do so well. They were already starting to do well. They were already just starting to break into the mainstream and get accepted by businesses and whatnot, even more so now, obviously. But there's just something about the uniformity and the white space and the ease of navigation and making people only click one time when other sites make you click three times. Since I don't use LinkedIn as much, it takes you like 5 steps to accept new contact.
You're right. So UI, user interface, you determined there's going to be a huge success because of the ease of use, and that's how it grew so fast.
Yes.
So the Circle Moms had a great UI.
Yeah, and then the great marketing campaign, and then you use existing social media like Twitter, Facebook, whatnot, and YouTube to do some of their promotions.
Can you think of a student of yours that's really taken some of your consulting, whether it's your home study courses or listen to some of your recordings? Give me a star student. Tell me a story about that person.
One of my star students would be Coach Eva Gregory, who called herself America's Feel-Good Coach. And she took some of my training 16 months ago. She did fairly well, but she really didn't fully get the power of Facebook and how it could be utilized, and a little bit of Twitter as well. It really helped her build out with her Twitter. And through using a Facebook group and some of the strategies that I taught her, she was able to make $19,000 from one group. And she actually have her on record saying that she now earns in 1 week what she used to earn in a month.
So how'd she do it?
Yeah, and this is a strategy that's worked for some other people as well, that some contacts of mine, and sure, some of my secrets that made as much as $40,000 in 1 week. And so this would be like, you set up a group, and people are more likely to join a group around a special interest and keep coming back to that group if you set up some ground rules about, like, no spamming, and you give them some good value, you give them some good content, versus now the fandom, we're right on the cusp of shifting. It's really like earlier on we talked about groups, and then I brought up fan pages instead, because now you probably could achieve the same results with a page versus a group, but let's just focus on the group for now. Set up this group, it's around a special interest, you get some members going, the tipping point is going to be somewhere around 500 to 1,000. It's a tipping point I found with pretty much all these networks, same with Twitter followers, Facebook fans, group members, friends. So you're looking to get somewhere around 500 to 1,000. And once you've started that group going, you've got some content in there, videos, discussions, wall posts. Then you offer an event. You set up an event. You're going to do a free tally seminar. And you're going to make people sign up. They've got to come off of Facebook and out into an opt-in page. And they're going to opt-in. And they get the phone number and they sign up. People know the drill. They're used to the drill. You could do it paid. Some of my clients do paid. We did this one where we did it's only $20 for the call. And that included the MP3. And then it was $30 upgrade to get the transcript. And we sold 300 tickets. So we made $6,000 on the front end, and then we made an offer and made some money in the back end as well.
All right, so if someone wants to learn this system, you have some home study program, but really, who is your training for? I would think it's not for the person without a business. It's for maybe information product marketers, publishers, people who have something to sell, right?
It really is, yeah, because people will come to me, certainly initially, like about 18 months, 2 years ago, they would always be coming to me and saying, you know, how do I make money on Facebook? How do I make money on Facebook? People are starting to realize now that it's not just one site. You don't just come to one site and start making money. They're marketing mediums. They're conversational mediums. They're relationship building mediums. And I would say to people, you know, let's press the pause button on that question. I'm going to ask you some questions. What is your business model? What's your profit model? What are your goals? What do you want? What are your objectives? If we could wait wave a magic wand, what would you do all day, every day, even if you didn't get paid for it, with your passion? So we get tapped into some of these questions to make sure that people are on the right track, because if they were to experience explosive growth, could they handle that growth and would they want to? Are they really doing their passion? Is it monetizable? So we get really clear on that. I do some work like that with a lot of students going through a certification program right now. I'm actually certifying them as social media consultants. So we just a lot of clarity about what is their niche. But I think 9 people out of 10 that come to me, they really do have a very, very solid and established business. They're in their niche. They're in their passion. They're looking to use social media and all these different online, not just social media, but just more of the web 2.0, like blogs and all the different widgets and things like that, in order to increase their traffic, their clients, their sign-ups, their joint venture arrangements, their media attention, their exposure, and obviously their bottom line. It's all about that. You know, it's funny because I'm not about the money, and yet it has to be about the money. Because not that it's only about the money, that's the key distinction. Because your number one purpose for being in business is to be profitable. If you're not profitable, forget it. You've got a hobby.
So you're in the world of social media, how to make money from it by building relationships. What percentage would you say in the social media universe that people are in that specific focus, make money from social media, compared to the use of social media for issues unrelated to making money? There's still a huge user universe in that realm, is that right? That doesn't have anything to do with making money or selling or marketing? Does that make sense? How about the use of social media just for purely social?
You know, oh, God, yeah.
That's what I mean. Where is the majority use of these social media sites? Being social and making friends has nothing to do with making money.
No, I know. Well, we're talking about business.
Yeah, that's right. But I'm just curious how big of a universe is not about making money.
It's probably bigger. We are the minority. I will tell you that, Michael. We are the minority. Right now we are anyway. Because, see, Facebook has 225 million active users headed toward 500 million by 2011 or sooner at the rate they're going. Definitely be sooner. Now, you can have 5,000 friends we've been talking about. They are going to lift that limit. But the average number of friends that any given Facebook user has is about 125. It's high school buddies. It's their mom. It's their siblings. It's people you know that they met while they were traveling. And they use it for sharing photos and really sharing their lives. They're not trying to do any marketing or anything whatsoever. You know, even like seniors, you got a lot of baby boomers on there reconnecting with lost friends and family. I'm sure there's been more high school reunions created all the previous years since Facebook got so popular.
How does Facebook and Twitter, you know, the executives and such, how do they view your world, the people who want to come in and build it out for profit and making money and marketing? Are they skeptical of that universe?
Not so much. See, because Facebook and Twitter have not fully figured out their revenue model. Neither one of them are making any great amount of money. In fact, Facebook has just received another round of funding. Another $200 million dropped into their bank account this week with a Russian investment. Previously, they have Microsoft's money. Bill Gates has got a stake in the company. So they're fairly well funded, but in terms of actually cranking out some solid profits, that's yet to come for both companies. But advertising is most definitely one area. And the fan pages, see, because of this magnitude of the user base, you've got 225 million people, you've got Target on there, or Victoria's Secret, you've also got actors, and Vin Diesel, he's been very, very active on there, the actor and the fitness guy, he's got like over 1 million fans last I looked. So they have these platforms where it's very easy for absolutely free for the user, and Facebook loves that, because Facebook figures that if you've got a celebrity or a big brand coming in, I mean, Coca-Cola, oh my gosh, Vin Diesel's up to almost 4 million fans, so he is cranking. But that's a lot of traffic. Facebook will love someone like him because he's bringing tons of people in, and not just in, but they're sticking. It's the stickiness. It's eyeballs, and eyeballs are sellable. Eyeballs are sellable to advertisers.
Well, let me ask you this. Have you ever advertised on paid advertising?
No, I've tried it a little bit. It's not something that's been that successful for me. I don't even need to because I've got so much free business.
But when you tested it, it didn't work.
In actual fact, I recommend advertising to my clients because you can purchase very, very targeted demographics, targeted traffic.
You can measure the click-throughs and all that?
All the metrics are there. Works very, very similar to Google AdWords. One of the secrets with the ads was actually not to try to advertise and do direct selling and get people off of Facebook and into your site and buying because you're, like, missing a few steps. But if you advertise your fan page until you're getting awareness, but then you're getting people to come over and be your fan, now you're just going to start working on building that relationship.
Are you into YouTube at all?
YouTube, I have three channels over there, huh?
So you got three channels and you do videos there?
I do some videos. What I tend to do, because of the very nature of the technical aspects of what I teach as well, is I do screen capture videos. I'm using Camtasia, and I actually do tutorials and things like that.
Right. So what's the model with YouTube? You'll do screen captures around your niche, and then in the description you have a URL that takes them to your Facebook page?
Or my Twitter page or my blog.
Now, you said something, when the marketers come in, the users leave. What did you mean by that?
What I mean by that is that an example would be on Facebook, if every given moment you're friending them up and then you write in their wall and you leave this big fat signature block, it's all about you, and then come and visit my blog and sign up for this, and it's just more hardcore push marketing. Even though the person is attempting to do some relational tactics and write the friendly greeting on the wall, but you know, in my opinion, you just do not need a signature file on your Facebook wall post, because everywhere you go, your picture and your thumbnail and your name is hyperlinked right back to your profile, so people can come click through and see everything they want to see about you. Same with Twitter. I mean, you know, your link is clickable. People can go and find out, you know, anything they want about you on your Twitter page.
Give me your best recommendation for any of our listeners who want to maybe take a baby step to learning a little bit more of what you've learned over all these years. What would be a good baby step for someone to maybe dip their toe in the water for a product or a service that you have that you'd recommend?
Well, I have a couple of different things. So an absolute baby step, I have a relatively new membership program. It's called SPID, and it's basically they get monthly calls. They get drip fed. They get drip fed, and then they get access to me. One of the most affordable ways to get access to me, once a month we do a live Q&A call, and they get that recorded and archived. The other thing I have is what I call my Quick Start Social Media. It's a kit, a Quick Start Social Media kit, and it comes with 62 short video tutorials, anywhere from 2 to 12 minutes. And then there's a guidebook with that, the 15 precise steps that if you follow them all, you implement them, then you will definitely see measurable results. And it comes with an online version, and it's also shipped in the mail in a DVD version.
This has been great. We've covered a lot of stuff.
Outstanding. Yes. Good. Good. Well, I'm glad I was able to contribute to your piece.
No, I really appreciate it. And then I'll get this cleaned up and I'll share it with my list.
Okay, Michael.
All right. Take care. You too. Bye. Bye. That's the end of my recording with Maury. I hope you've enjoyed it and learned something. If you'd like more information on Maury's special programs and seminars and free reports, she's got a wealth of information. All you have to do is go to www.facebookseminar.com. That's www.facebookseminar.com. There's no S on there, so it's www.facebookseminar.com. Thanks for listening. For more interviews like this, go to hardtofindseminars.com.